I wanna go where the moon shines bright. I wanna dance under the stars tonight.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the moon. I'm your host for this evening, Lawrence Ray, and today I'm joined by my esteemed co-hosts, Ricardo Martinez.
Hi, I'm Ricardo Martinez, content creator for BitRefill.
And Jerry.
Yep, I'm Jerry, ambassador for BitRefill for Nigeria.
Yep, and I'm also the ambassador for the UK for BitRefill. So, guys, just to start off, tell me, how's it going for you this week? Ricardo, how's it going? How's your day been?
Well, today has been incredible, actually. We crossed a trillion total crypto market cap, and we just touched 40K. I'm on cloud nine right now.
Damn right, man. Me too. It's been a bit of a wild day to sit and look at the prices going up. What about you, Jerry? Anything interesting going on?
Yo, I'm feeling so pumped right now. You know, I think Ricardo said it all, really. It's been an incredible day. I never thought I should be BTC, you know, getting 40K. Man, it's totally unreal, especially when you consider what happened in 2018. Bruh.
Yeah.
It's a mixture of relief and happiness, really.
It's been a long climb back since then. I'm just frustrated because I remember trying to buy some Bitcoin when it hit that kind of 3K point in March 2020. I was trying to buy up like two Bitcoins and Binance were blocking me because I was in Brazil with a UK account and they were blocking me thinking it was like fraudulent activity or something. Absolutely raging. But there you go. It is what it is. But anyway, I will move on. So I guess as our first podcast, just for the listeners, I'll give you all a quick explanation of what to expect from us. So first off, we're going to start off with just discussing the news of the week. And then we'll move on to a fun game that everyone can play along with. Then usually we'd have a special segment, which we'd talk about living on crypto or something akin to that. But then finally, we'll leave you on a positive note with 60 seconds of good news. So I guess the first bit of news... Bitcoin has hit 40K all-time high, and Ethereum has pumped over a grand in a day. So I guess everything seems pretty bullish right now as we speak, literally as we record. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts? If you've got a friend coming to you right now saying, what do I do? You know, so maybe they're out of crypto and they don't know when to buy in or if they should. What's your advice, guys? What are you saying to them?
Yeah, for funny story, my sister, about 30, 40 minutes ago, my sister living in the US, you know, chatted me up on WhatsApp and was like, you know, yo, BTC is a 40K. What do I do? And, you know, I'm like, you know, my trading instincts, you know, immediately kicks in. I'm like, no, don't buy. You know, don't buy. Wait for a retrace. Wait for a dump. It depends on what you want. If you're willing to, you know, if you're looking long term, you know, just go for it, you know, because obviously the way BTC is going right now, we could probably see 100K by the end of the year. So, and that's pretty conservative, you know. So, I mean, just, you know, go off the deep end.
What I've been telling people is that we're still early. Right now, less than 1% of the global population is using Bitcoin. And eventually, everyone's going to be using Bitcoin, similar to the trajectory of growth of the internet. So, even if we're at an all-time high, that seems incredible. If they buy now within a four-year cycle, they're going to be in the green again at the next halving. So I recommend buying Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think when it comes to, I often say to like, cause I have quite a few people getting in touch with me, you know, oh, you're that guy who works with internet money. My advice is usually just like wait for a little bit of a dip, like, you know, try and buy it on a red candle, which sounds a bit ridiculous, but I always go for that. But also you get a lot of people saying, well, where's the cheapest place to get it? And I'm like, look, where's the quickest place to get it? Because in this market, like, it goes up 2-3%, right? You want to get it quick. You don't want to get it cheap. Like, why save that 0.2% or whatever, when it's gone 1% up or down in the next minute. I definitely am in it for the long haul. And I think a lot of people should be. I think that, yeah, we've just surpassed, was it 1 trillion, as you said, and isn't gold, I think, 10 trillion or 7 trillion from memory? Roughly 10 trillion market cap. Okay. Yeah. So we're at a tenth of that. Which is mad. And if Bitcoin remains the dominant cryptocurrency, which it probably will for a fair while, then you know, we're in a good market. That's my advice. So yeah, I definitely say to people, just get involved.
People have been asking me about other cryptos, not just Bitcoin. Friends of mine that had curiosity about Bitcoin initially are starting to ask me about other coins like Ethereum and Dash.
Yeah, I'll never understand it. You know, we've been telling people to buy Bitcoin for like, you know, sub 20K, sub 15K, and now it's 40K. You're like, where can I buy? Dude, I told you like, you know, months ago. What's with that? I really try to understand the psychology behind that, because it only seems like it only seems to repeat itself time after time, cycle after cycle. It's all the same thing. So in 2017, we've been telling people to buy Bitcoin, you know, when it was around 3K, you know, 4K in January 2017. They're like, nah, Bitcoin's rat poison, you know, stuff like that. And now towards the end of 2017, they're like, where can I get some Bitcoins? Now we tell them again, buy Bitcoin early 2020. I'm like, nah, it's rat poison. Okay, yeah, where can I buy Bitcoin? I mean, why does this keep happening? I can't understand it, really.
I guess it's human nature, isn't it, really? Buy when everyone else is nervous. I guess that's the advice. But I mean, moving on to, well, I suppose onto the next piece of big news. Still this week is big news, and it's been big news for a little while now. US federal regulator, I was just about to go on to something else, but actually this one's even better. US federal regulator says that banks can use stablecoins for payments. So letter 1174 from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency state that banks are allowed to participate as nodes in independent node verification networks, aka blockchain networks. So that's pretty huge news that kind of it got some attention, but it's big. Like, you know, essentially banks can participate in pretty much more than stablecoin networks. They can do pretty much, well, any blockchain network. They can buy or use any of them for their purposes of remittance. I mean, I think it's something that's been coming for, it's a long time coming, really. But I guess what's your guys' thoughts on this? Like, you know, do you think that we're going to see quite a big change this year in the way that the traditional financial market operates as a result of this kind of thing? Or is it more of, sort of not that important news to you?
I think, you know, we definitely saw it coming. It's something that we knew that would happen. It was just a matter of time, really. And I'm having mixed feelings about this, because, you know, we tend to think, do we need more regulation? Because definitely that is where we are heading to right now. Do we need more regulation? Because is this necessary? And people think, okay, I think it's good for adoption. So I think it's a necessary evil. But that's where we're heading at. You know, I had this argument with a friend some time ago, and he was like, there's no way the U.S. will begin to use stable coins because of the effects it might have on the dollar. And I was like, no. Stablecoins is basically U.S. dollar. It's something that's going to happen, whether we like it or not. So I'm pretty surprised. The only thing I'm surprised about, it happened really sooner than later, really.
I agree with Jerry that this is a logical progression towards CBDCs and laying the groundwork for central bank digital currencies. Whether that's a good thing or whether you agree with it is up in the air. But to me, I believe that the mainstream Joe Sixpack kind of guy will be totally comfortable. I mean, they're already using digital dollars with Zelle and other payment apps like that. So a digital stablecoin for banks just makes sense to me right now. I don't think they'll be able to outcompete Bitcoin. Bitcoin's just better money. So let them have a shot at it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of share like your guys' views. I mean, I suppose for me, I don't know. I'm not a massive fan of stable coins, really. I mean, for anyone out there who isn't aware, right? A stable coin is essentially a coin where usually it's pegged to the US dollar. So there'll be like a dollar in a bank account for every USDT or BUSD or whatever stable coin you've chosen. There's exceptions like DAI and things like that. But the thing for me is, like, I think a better term is probably pegged coin, right? Because the same term stable coin makes it sound safe and comfortable, but actually, yeah, it's not really that safe. I mean, the dollar can dip, right? So yeah, I think for most cases, and this is where I can really segue into our next news piece here. Most cases for me, like Europe and North America, for domestic payments within that area, within the country, I don't see much of a need. We're already pretty good with regards to speed of payments. And I think really for cross-border transactions, you're going to see a hell of a lot more use for this kind of thing, because it can speed that up a lot. But then I guess what you have to think about here is things like BUSD, USDT, those coins are all sort of backed by large companies, and our bank's going to really want to lose power to or trust a company like Tether, where it's already been kind of shown potentially that they don't actually have a dollar in the bank for every Tether that exists. Are they going to want to do that? Are they going to take that risk? I mean, that's something that I don't know. I mean, it's kind of encroaching on the territory of XRP and Ripple. And now you can see my smooth segue into the third news piece. I mean, to be honest, I guess what the benefit I think that Ripple tried to say that you're going to get with using their system is that, you know, essentially you put in dollars in America and it becomes pounds in England. And that's that. Whereas with the USDT or using a stablecoin, you put dollars in America and then you get USDT in England. And you've got that more of a sort of transfer to do to get into pounds. That's why Ripple thinks they've got the market covered. Until third piece of the news of the week here, which has been going for a little while. Ripple, due to an SEC lawsuit against them, they're the owner of most of the XRP in existence, or a great majority of. And the creator of ODL and blockchain.com are halting trading next week. Coinbase, I think, pretty soon as well. Bittrex, I think, already have. And a few others. I think BitTrue maybe as well. There's quite a few. I mean, what's your guys' thoughts on the lawsuit? Like, how much do you know about the lawsuit and have you looked into it? What are you thinking?
My personal opinion is that Ripple is garbage. I haven't followed it since 2017 and I really don't care about the lawsuit. I mean, it's amusing for me. It's like I'm eating popcorn and watching the fireworks, but other than that, I don't really have much interest for it.
What about you, Jerry? Yeah. You're more of a mid-range guy.
Yeah. I'm broadly leaning to what Ricardo said. I think it's garbage. I've always thought it was garbage, but you know, I think a lot of people in crypto saw this coming. I think one of the, you know, one of what I call the selling point of Ripple was the fact that they claim to be, you know, financially regulated in the US, and there's no way they'd ever, you know, ever have a run-in with the SEC, with the SEC. So it's like a slap in the face, really. It's like, you know, pie in the face. You know, really, XRP should just take your L. I think the only winner in this is Jed McCaleb. He's already cashed out, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
In the dump, yeah, left the dumpster fire. So, you know, sorry for your loss. Actually, not sorry. I told you.
No, yeah, he did an amazing job. If this all goes down the hill, I mean, he pulled out of the company pretty much just before they started selling it as a potential security, and he's been dumping it for how many years? No, I mean, as you guys already know, I wouldn't say I'm a fan necessarily, but I'm someone who's invested in XRP, and I like to know about it because I find it interesting personally. I really do. And I've always found that I found the idea of XRP and XLM, because very similar, like fantastic idea. Jeez, I mean, like, amazing idea. But yeah, I mean, I guess essentially for anyone who's listening who hasn't, I've actually read the entire SEC lawsuit paper. And essentially what they're claiming is that Ripple promoted XRP as a security in the past due to like ICOs they carried out and promises they've made to investors, allegedly. And they're basically claiming that Brad Garlinghouse and Chris Larson, the two sort of bigger guys there, were selling XRP privately at the right time. So manipulating the market so that the price would go up, they'd sell and then dump the market. The thing is here, something which I think some people are missing is that like it has, if you're into coins other than maybe ETH and Bitcoin, it has huge implications for those. Like Tron is next. You best believe it. Like they're coming for you if you're into that coin. So that's something that I think is, anyway.
I agree with you there, Lawrence. This is the shot across the bow for all shitcoin projects that took advantage of the bubble in 2017. And the chickens are coming home to roost.
No, yeah. That's,
I do think, how much though, Ricardo, how much of an impact do you think this will have, you know, on the entire crypto market? Are we going to see, you know, shrinking of the crypto market cap, you know, or it's something that's going to bolster trust and, you know, see Bitcoin skyrockets, you know, across 250K. What do you think?
It could cause a decoupling between Bitcoin and altcoins, but since the 2017 bubble and the implosion of the crypto winter, there have been regulated, crypto projects that have come out. So I think those ones are probably going to be okay. So I don't think this is going to wipe out all altcoins. the ones that decided to play ball with regulators are probably going to have a little bit of freedom to operate still. This is going to be for those that, you know, those fly-by-night projects with anonymous teams that absconded with investor money.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, you're probably right. I suspect that there'll probably be like a tiny tip on, you know, I think it will probably pause Bitcoin and ETH, you know, once the lawsuits start really coming out for a day or something, and then it will just, that'll be it, personally. And then I think you'll probably see, yeah, overall the market will probably reduce very slightly for a couple of months, I'm guessing, and then you're probably just going to see it go back up into the same value with people just pushing that money into to Bitcoin and ETH and other sort of higher value projects. But yeah, I mean, I figure it's yeah, pretty interesting and quite important really to see what goes on there. But that moves on to our next segment, already my favorite segment, because I prepared this game today, and I'm going to be interested to see what you guys choose as the correct answer. So what we have is, and this is for anyone to play along with, obviously, as I said at the beginning, the game is Guess the Fake Statement, okay? So there are three statements here, and one is fake, one is false, two are true. Now, it is crypto-related. And Jerry, Ricardo, we're going to have an ongoing, you know, tally score here. And yeah, I want to see who's the smartest, you know, at getting this right. Okay, so let's get some competition going. All right. Okay. So the three statements are: one, there is a coin supporting Donald Trump named Trump Coin, with its shortened name being Trump. Two, there is a fork of Litecoin named after garlic bread called Garlicoin, which is hot out of the oven and ready to serve you with its buttery goodness. And three, everyone's favorite lazy animal, PandaCoin, hit its all-time high this week alongside Bitcoin. So which one of those is the false statement? And you can give me some rationale or you can just confidently say it. I don't mind. But Jerry, what are you going for?
The third one is fake.
The third one. Okay, confident. I like it. Ricardo, what about you?
I'm going to say there's no Trump coin.
So you're going for number one being fake.
Yeah.
Okay. Any rationale behind these decisions here? Jerry, are you sort of claiming that you know, do you own Garlic Coin? Is that what you're going at here? Or?
Yeah, I think I've seen a Trump coin. Not really sure. You know, there's a lot of garbage on CMC. I'm not sure. It could be my mind playing tricks on me, but I think I've seen a Trump coin. And three, I don't think you've seen Garlic Coin, you know. As a trader, I just came through CMC a lot, but so I'm just honestly just gut feeling, really.
You're going
for my mind playing tricks on me.
What about you, yeah, Ricardo? What's your reasoning for this choice?
Well, I haven't heard of a Trump coin personally. Garlic coin, garlic on the blockchain, just sounds like a project from 2017. And Panda coin, I believe I've actually heard of Panda coin.
So okay, now I understand the rationale that you both have chosen here. The incorrect one, and I'm sorry to tell you, Ricardo, you are wrong. Three is actually true. Three is actually false. Sorry, God almighty. Jerry, you got it right. Ricardo, you're wrong. Now, Trump coin does exist, and it's still going, surprisingly enough. And it's had some pump and dumps as well. I looked at the history. I couldn't believe this one. But yeah, it does exist. And it's not necessarily backed by Trump by any means. It's a supporter coin. There is also a fork of Litecoin named after garlic bread. It was started by a load of people on Reddit, surprise surprise, in around 2017, I think, actually, potentially as well. So you're pretty much dead on right there, Ricardo. And PandaCoin did exist. It was a real coin, but it disappeared, I think, sometime back in 2018, 2019. So sadly, it didn't hit its all-time high alongside Bitcoin this week. So there you go. Okay, Jerry, 1 point to you. Okay, well done. I'm going to put some fake applause in there.
thanks.
You win the trophy. So I guess we'll start now. I'll read you the good news. So Adidas are to launch plant-based shoes made of mushroom leather. 400 families woke up on Christmas Day to a $250 gift card and a poem from an anonymous giver. A teacher laid off after 20 years wins $250,000 lottery prize. Grandparents finally get to hug their grandchildren after 9 months by wearing giant inflatable polar bear outfits. Air pollution is dropping in China due to serious efforts from the government. The world's only known white giraffe has been fitted with a GPS chip to protect it from poachers. In order to raise local money for a hospital, a 10-year-old Scottish boy walked, cycled, and ran up three mountains carrying a sack of potatoes, which I thought was amazing. He was able to purchase tablets for patients at hospitals who couldn't have visitors due to COVID. A man dressed as Batman has delivered hundreds of meals to the homeless in Chile's capital. And lastly, a garbage man from Colombia has been collecting books for 20 years, which had been thrown away, and he's now opened a free community library filled with 25,000 and plus books. There you are. That's the positive news to leave everyone on at the end of the show. And yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. Again, we have been Lawrence Ray, Ricardo Martinez, and Jerry. Anyone want to say anything before we head off?
No.
Buy Bitcoin.
See you later, everyone.
Say no to XRP. Don't do XRP, kids.